Anglia tell us of delays to both express and suburban services between Cambridge and Liverpool Street. That's because of power supply problems at Angel Road in Tottenham. Here's Linda with the air news.
And a much happier morning. Early morning British Airways shuttle and European services are expected to operate on schedule today. At Heathrow, though, Pan Am Flight 54 from Detroit has been cancelled. Passengers have transferred to British Airways Flight 94, arriving at 10:30. And a long delay on Qantas QF9 from Sydney. The aeroplane is now estimated to arrive at 12:30 at Heathrow.
The ABC Radio currency check, what you'll get for a pound buying these here before you go. The American dollar, 156.5. The French franc, 10.19. The West German mark, 3.02. The Swiss franc, 2.60.
Tuesday, August the 22nd, AM with Douglas Cameron and Nicky Broyd, between 7 and 8.
Relative Values, the West End musical star whose show has been axed, but who escaped death in the Thames pleasure boat disaster, Furry Across the Mersey. The oil company Shell has been accused of reacting too slowly to the massive oil slick still polluting that great river.
Plus, why London Underground should be referred to the Monopolies and Mergers Commission and the rare plants facing extinction at Kew Garden.
British Airways is pleased to announce that all flights are back to normal again after the recent disruptions. We sincerely regret any inconvenience that may have been experienced by our passengers. But we would like to assure you that everyone at British Airways is working to make certain that all flights will be back to normal. British Airways, the world's favourite airline.
You're tuned to LBC Radio, 97.3 on the FM frequency. For quality stereo listening, LBC Radio FM.
The 7 o'clock news, this is Douglas Cameron. Inquests are opening today on the 25 known victims of the Thames pleasure boat disaster as police continue to scour the river for more bodies. Another 38 people are still missing. And craft returning to the river after a day of mourning face a noon deadline to meet a new safety code imposed by the Transport Secretary Cecil Parkinson. Nigel Deering has this report.
From today, cruise companies will have to compile registers of passengers and explain emergency procedures before any sailings on the Thames. Regulations will be enforced more rigorously and river patrols will be extended overnight 24 hours a day. Superintendent Ted Allen, in charge of the search, has welcomed the new moves.
Prevention's always better than cure, isn't it? And anything that is done that might prevent another tragedy can only be good.
He now hopes that those bodies still missing can be recovered by the end of the week.
Police are hunting a child abductor who seized a young boy from his own garden, used a knockout drug to force him unconscious, and then carried him off into the night. The 9-year-old was camping in a tent behind his home in East London when the attacker struck. Luckily, the boy was rescued shortly afterwards, but he's still in hospital recovering from the effects of his ordeal. Eleanor Curty reports.
And a man pounced just before dawn. He dragged the boy out of the tent and knocked him out by smothering his face with a drug-soaked rag. A neighbour was alerted by a scream and saw the man run off with the boy over his shoulder. He called police, who found the child unconscious in a nearby alley. A man answering the attacker's description had been seen in the Hackney area offering money to children in the last few days.
An international jewellery dealer has been blown up by a package delivered to her home in Sheffield. Eileen Colton was seriously injured as she opened the parcel. She's been rushed to a local hospital for emergency surgery. South Yorkshire police are treating the attack as attempted murder. Detective Superintendent Mick Burdis says the bomb inflicted terrible wounds.
She's got very serious injuries to the left side of her body, her arm, left side of her face and her left leg. Quite seriously injured.
Five tapes of the Beatles, forgotten for more than 20 years, are expected to fetch more than £60,000 today in auction at Sotheby's. They belong to Alf Bicknell, once the chauffeur to the group, who was given the tapes by John Lennon. Dennis Vaughan reports.
If I fell in love with you...
For more than two decades, Alf Bicknell thought the tapes he'd kept in his garage in a plastic bag had been sent in by fans, and his mistake was only discovered when he lent them to a friend with whom he's writing a book.
Late one night, the phone rang here, and he says, never mind about information that we found for the book, he said, listen to this, and suddenly I hear the voice down the phone of John Lennon singing If I Fell. And that's how it all started.
The tapes are being sold as part of the rock and roll memorabilia auction, but Alf says it's not the money, it's the memories that matter to him. Dennis Vaughan, IRN, Liverpool.
This is IRN.
Did you get it?
Yeah, it's great. Look, 100 free travel vouchers.
I mean, your mortgage.
Oh, I've got that as well. It came with the vouchers. What did yours come with?
1% off the mortgage rate, actually.
If you're a first-time buyer, Halifax Building Society will now give you a full 1% discount off the Society's current base mortgage rate for the first year.
Should get me a lot further than your travel vouchers.
Your property is security for a mortgage. For written details of this limited offer, phone the Halifax on 0800 500 235.
Independent Radio News. Gatwick Airport has been at the centre of a security alert after gunshots were heard. A man's been arrested and is being questioned by detectives. Two members of the public alerted police after hearing shots and spotting an armed man wearing camouflage clothing running off into the undergrowth. Armed officers, tracker dogs and a police helicopter were used during a search of woods near the South Terminal. Shell are being accused of reacting too slowly to the massive oil slick that's polluted the River Mersey. The chairman of Cheshire's Environmental Protection Committee, Derek Bateman, says the company had no backup plans to deal with a ruptured pipeline. Tim Needham has this report.
Councillor Bateman says he's amazed by Shell's unpreparedness because a fractured pipeline from the huge Stanlow refinery was always a possibility. He claims the company took more than 24 hours to provide expert advisors and obtain vital equipment from a store near Warrington.
Very annoyed about it because not only did it stall the cleanup campaign, there wasn't adequate heavy equipment available right at the beginning to trap most of this oil at the beginning of the first high tide.
Shell are dismissing the allegations. They say they reacted quickly and followed a detailed emergency plan. Tim Needham, IRN, Merseyside.
Kenyan police have launched a manhunt for the killers of wildlife champion George Adamson. Mr. Adamson, who was 82, was shot dead as he drove his jeep at bandits who were robbing a visitor to his remote home on the Kora National Game Reserve. His death echoed that of his wife Joy, author of the bestseller Born Free, who was murdered by a servant in Kenya 9 years ago. Savers have been pouring money back into the building societies to take advantage of high interest rates, according to figures out today. Here's financial correspondent Danny Bowers.
July was a bumper month for the building societies. They took in £846 million of new money, helped by many people returning cash into their accounts after not getting all the Abbey National shares they applied for in the recent sell-off. The figures are the latest indication that high interest rates have done the trick in cooling off the economy. In the last week, official figures have revealed falling growth, retail sales and inflation, bringing closer a possible interest rate cut.
The disgraced evangelist Jim Baker has gone on trial in America, accused of stealing more than £2 million from his congregation. The court case is the latest blow to Baker, whose television ministry crumbled 2 years ago after he was involved in a sex scandal with his secretary, Jessica Hahn. Paul Woodley sends this report.
Among 175 witnesses, the plastic surgeon who did Jim Baker's facelift. Prosecution's case is that millions was used for that sort of non-church business. Most damaging testimony likely to come from Richard Dortch, Baker's former top aide, who's pleaded guilty to fraud and made a deal with the prosecution. With Baker in court, wife Tammy was encouraging him on their new TV show.
I love you, sweetheart. Don't you dare give up.
Baker could be jailed for 120 years and fined £3 million. Paul Woodley, IRN New York.
Independent Radio News, Douglas Cameron reporting.
London's main stories this morning. There's been another vandal attack on a train. The driver and passengers of a Charing Cross Express narrowly escaped injury last night when a brick smashed through carriage windows. The incident follows an urgent new appeal from Transport Police for information about the vandal attack which derailed a train in West Ealing earlier this month. And the government is being urged to refer London Underground to the Monopolies Commission for allegedly planning fare increases to overcome overcrowding.
The summer weather just goes on and on. More warm sunshine again today. Having said that, though, out-of-town areas are starting off quite cool this morning with temperatures around 9, 10 or 11. Central London has a reasonably warm 15 and it'll climb quickly during the morning to the day's maximum of around 25 degrees. That's nearly but not quite as high as yesterday's. Any remaining early morning mist patches will very quickly disappear. I think most of them have anyway now. That's leaving behind plenty of blue sky, a few odd bits and pieces of high-level cloud, but nothing much at all. And that's how it's going to stay during the day. A handful of clouds, practically unbroken sunshine, any interruptions very brief, and a light breeze from the southwest. Overnight tonight, the weather continuing fine, and temperatures perhaps a degree or two higher than they were last night. Phil of Eden, AM Weather.
Next, an appeal from a survivor of the Marchioness who wants to know if a young woman he clung to in the water was as lucky as he was. But before on that, at 7:08, it's time to cross to Brian Wolfe, who's at Biggin Hill, to see what fine conditions are like for this morning's reports from the Evening Standard London Lookout. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Nicky. Lovely morning. Absolutely perfect blue sky. Cavalcade again today. Couldn't be better, really. So we'll be having a look at South Lambeth Road, the M11 at Junction 5. That seems to be rather troublesome in the last few days. The East End at Stratford, apparently there's just been an accident there in that that one-way system. Camberwell New Road and Mitcham. So there are the targets for this morning. I'll just go and kick the tyres and fire the Aztec up for a takeoff at 7:30. This is Brian Wolfe at a very sunny Biggin Hill.
It's a real life of adventure for Winko, you know, every morning. Right, the Southern Region cancellations this morning, quite a few of them. Guildford to Waterloo via Cobham, the 7:15. Effingham Junction to Waterloo via Epsom, the 7:46. Dartford to Charing Cross via Sidcup, the 8:14. Kent House to Blackfriars, the 8:25. Dartford to Cannon Street via Greenwich, the 8:25. And a couple more. Gravesend to Charing Cross via Sidcup, the 8:30. And Sutton to London Bridge, the 8:31. Those not going on Southern, it's 7:10.
Feeling hot, hot, hot. Sun is shining. Turns off breathing, cause it's hot, hot, hot.
Be done, be done.
We're in your new, end up your train. We're becoming such a pain.
Big dumb, big dumb.
Messing up the loon. Big Dom's got to do what Big Dom's got to do. Big Dom. When it comes to germs, I sure am mean. When the heat is on, I keep your loo real clean. Big Dom. Big Bad Dom.
The AM Show, 6 till 10 on LBC Radio.
7:11. A young West End musical star who escaped death in the Marchioness disaster is appealing to a young woman he clung to in the swirling waters to come forward and tell him she's safe. Mark Frederick is currently appearing in Metropolis at the Piccadilly Theatre. Just 2 days before the ill-fated disco party, he'd been told the multi-million pound show's being axed. Julie Benson reports.
Despite being bruised, battered and in shock, in true theatre style, Mark Frederick stepped under the spotlight on stage at the Piccadilly Theatre last night, proving the show must go on. He was too distressed to speak to reporters and had to be supported on his way into the theatre. His best friend, Robert Atherton, says Mark's escape from the doomed Marchioness was miraculous.
He was completely surrounded by water. He was breathing in water, surrounded by bodies. He happened to see an air pocket. He made his way to it.
This is inside the...
This is actually downstairs. So he's seeing this air pocket, he went up. I don't know whether it was sort of a hatch or a window, but he actually managed to force his way out.
Trapped in the pitch-black waters, Mark was convinced he had just moments to live. He clung to a beautiful model.
Basically, he thought he was going to die. This girl who he was also hanging on to also felt that she was going to die. Basically, they didn't want to die alone.
So they clung together?
So they clung together for support.
After a few minutes, he lost the young girl and was rescued. Now he's desperate to know if she's still alive.
And obviously, we'd love to know if the girl managed to survive or not.
So he wants to know whether the girl he was hanging on to
I think it would be very important to him. We just pray to God that she survived. Because, you know, I mean, it's such an awful way to go.
Mark watched the boat sink. Just 2 days before, he'd been told the multi-million pound production of Metropolis is closing next month. Now, despite being set back by the disaster, he's determined to go to auditions and set up an appeal fund for the disaster victims' families. The girl Mark was clinging to was one of 30 young male and female models from the top agency called Synchro. Some of the youngsters are still missing. Raymond Francis, who works for the firm, says everyone's shattered.
Very distressed. Just sort of unbelievable feeling about the whole matter and the sort of people that are close to us have been lost. It's very difficult. It's very, very difficult to carry on as normal. This tragedies happen.
Mother of the drowned skipper of the Marchioness, Molly Faldo, says she's sure her son died trying to save the passengers.
It's always been a fear of mine, the water. So I nearly drowned when I was little. So I tried hard to persuade my son when he was first going up with his dad not to go. But he did, and I just feel devastated to think that he's such a strong swimmer and such a strong person and a very strong-willed person, you know. I just feel he's gone back to try and help others, that's what I feel, and that's why he's gone.
Meanwhile, Mark Frederick's appealing to the model girl to contact him now if she's safe.
Julie Benson reporting 14 minutes past seven, and an Essex travel agent says it will take her days to get over the shock of booking a party of middle-aged people aboard the Marchioness on the trip before it sank. Tricia Lunn, director of Williams Travel in Southend, says she was devastated when she heard about the tragedy. Although her firm has been arranging trips on the doomed boat for 3 years, Saturday's booking was their largest ever.
This time we chartered the whole boat. We joined in another group on the last two, but this one we knew we could get the numbers up, so it was the whole boat.
How did you feel, presumably on Sunday morning, when you heard the news about what happened on the boats in the early hours?
Barbara, the other director of the company, phoned me at 8:15 and said, "Have you heard the news?" And she told me, and I was absolutely devastated because I could see all of our people sitting on that boat, and just their age just wouldn't have given them a chance. The younger group that was on the boat obviously could get off, scramble out a lot quicker. Our group couldn't have done. I was really devastated, and I still am.
Do you now feel, though, that it will put people off going on these kind of cruises, given the fact what has happened over the weekend?
No, because the boat was very safe. The crew were excellent. It just was purely fate. I don't think people would be put off at all.
Do you think perhaps, though, that from your point of view as a travel agent, maybe it would be better to insist on things like boarding passes so that you always know the names of the people going on the trip and the company, the firm who hire the boat, also know?
Well, of course, we knew everybody that was on our group. I had lists of the names on both coaches, so we did. But if we'd have been ones that had gone down in the river, you know, they wouldn't be able to find it.
But say a travel agent like yourself organising the trips, do you think it's as wise that perhaps you should keep a register somewhere safe in your offices here, perhaps?
Would be a good idea now, I think.
Just going back to the overall safety, obviously no one's saying that the boat is unsafe because what happened was a tragedy and a fate of circumstance. Do you perhaps feel it's unwise, though, that some of the activities take place well below deck?
The restaurant was water level. The dance floor was above water level, and I would have thought they could have got out quickly under normal circumstances, but this wasn't normal circumstances, so no, nobody had a chance really there.
Travel agent Tricia Lunn talking to Steve Blower. It's 17 minutes past seven. The giant oil company Shell has been accused of reacting too slowly to the massive oil slick which is still polluting the River Mersey. Cheshire County Council's Environmental Protection Chairman says the company wasn't properly prepared for a ruptured pipeline. Derek Bateman, who's on the coordinating committee dealing with the incident, is also attacking the Home Office and the County Council for not reviewing their emergency plans for 13 years. Shell are dismissing the allegations as nonsense. Tim Needham reports.
Councillor Bateman says he's shocked by Shell's lack of preparation because a fractured pipeline from the huge Stanlow refinery was always something that could happen. He claims the company took more than 24 hours to provide expert advisers and obtain vital equipment from a government store near Warrington.
I'm very annoyed about it because not only did it stall the cleanup campaign, there wasn't adequate heavy equipment available right at the beginning to trap most of this oil at the beginning of the first high tide. Secondly, it also caused considerable problems in trying to get the disaster team together with the proper advice from Shell. And thirdly, because equipment that was available in the area, nobody was actually notified where it was and how to get hold of it as quickly as possible.
Shell are dismissing the allegations. They say they reacted quickly and followed a detailed emergency plan. But Councillor Bateman says the plan may be out of date. And that's the fault of the Home Office, the County Council and the company.
I would say that Shell were very unprepared, considering that the Stanlow refinery is the biggest refinery, not only in this region, but in this side of the country. One would have expected that there would have been a large pollution threat from oil sometime since its existence since the 1920s. So can we assume that Shell would have thought about having the proper equipment available, the proper advice available, and the implementation of a proper disaster plan? Obviously, that wasn't the case.
Meanwhile, one of Europe's biggest power stations, Fiddler's Ferry near Widnes, faces possible shutdown. It successfully took in water from the Mersey for its cooling system last night after a big clean-up operation, but the station manager says the tide could bring the oil back again. And the Mersey's wildlife continues to suffer, with at least 100 oil-covered birds already and more feared dead. 100,000 wading birds feed on the river's sandbanks during the winter, and the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds is warning of a potential catastrophe.
That report by Tim Needham, 19 minutes past 7.
We'll train you to average £200 or £300 every evening, even if you've had no experience of selling. Phone us straight away.
It's a deal, 91,000.
It can be cold in London, damn cold.
Sounds like you need total water heating. Ned, throw over the telephone directory.
I'm so sorry, Ned. Never throw into the wind.
Hasn't anybody got any brains around here?
I do believe you've run completely out of them.
Well, get your electricity board to lag your tank, fit an economy 7-meter controller and replacement dual element, and you'll save a small fortune on your hot water costs.
Perhaps we can help you, Ned, for a consideration.
What sort of consideration?
Open your wallet and say after me, help yourself.
Help yourself.
That's enough. Just call 0800 300 320 and ask for total water heating. Lines open 24 hours a day and it's free.
Ned, you look divine. Might I have the next dance?
Bing, total water heating. From your local electricity business.
Here's Dominic with the sports news.
Cricket first, and the surprise news that Philip DeFratis has been recalled for the 6th Cornhill Test, which starts on Thursday at the Foster's Oval. DeFratis, who changed his mind about going on the unofficial tour of South Africa, will play in the Test team as a replacement for Devon Malcolm, who strained his back on Saturday. Nottinghamshire have become the second county to be docked 25 points under the new TCCB regulations regarding substandard pitches. The pitch on which they were playing Derbyshire was already in question after 19 wickets had fallen on Saturday. Then, after both Chris Broad and Paul Pollard had been hit by deliveries from Michael Holding yesterday, the umpires decided it was too dangerous and moved the game to another strip. That was hardly a batsman's paradise either. Another 18 wickets fell for 158 runs, and Nottinghamshire duly won by 70 runs well inside 2 days. Holding was so annoyed with what had happened that he refused to take any further part in the match. The Derbyshire captain, Kim Barnett, was unhappy with the whole saga too, but he accepted the apology offered by Nottinghamshire.
I think at the end of the day, they've held their hand up and admitted that the wicket wasn't so good. I think that's fair enough. Hopefully it won't happen too often again, and we'll just have to see what the consequences of it are. I was just pleased, really, that we got off that other wicket. As I say, I think a number of batsmen could have been seriously hurt.
Kim Barnett, the Derbyshire captain. At Northampton, Warwickshire beat Northamptonshire by an innings and 31 runs, also inside 2 days. Paul Smith took 4 for 9 there, and that included the first hat-trick of his career. There were 2 century-makers in the championship. Mike Gatting made 121 for Middlesex against Sussex, and Ian Smith, a career-best 116 for Glamorgan against Kent. The Australians won the 4X Challenge match at Chelmsford, beating Essex by 150 runs. Steve Waugh made 100 not out for the Australians. Earlier, his twin brother Mark had made 100 not out for Essex. Bill Fox's position as president of the Football League seems to be slightly more secure this morning, following yesterday's meeting of the First Division chairman at Old Trafford. Only 15 of the 20 chairmen were at the meeting, and they decided against any immediate moves to unseat Mr. Fox, even though some of them are still unhappy that he's failed to deliver his promise of bringing in Gordon Taylor as chief executive. Andy Williamson says that they've called for a meeting of the League Management Committee to express their views over the appointment of a chief executive.
At the meeting of the First Division today, clubs made their views clear to their elected representatives regarding the positions of president and chief executive. And it was agreed to instruct the members to make these views known to the president and the rest of the management committee at a meeting to be held within the next few days. The shortlist for the position of chief executive is not yet closed, and if the management committee wishes Gordon Taylor to be considered, he will be added to their shortlist.
Andy Williamson, a spokesman for the chairman of the First Division clubs who met in Manchester yesterday. One first-round first-leg Littlewoods Cup game was played last night. Stockport County beat Bury by 1-0. The three-day Ebor meeting gets underway at York today. There's also racing this afternoon at Folkestone.
7:23.
Summer in the city is a hot, sticky mess. A mean place to do business. A guy can lose his cool.
Sometimes it's too late. If only he'd called Heat Busters. We could have helped that guy immediately with a portable air conditioning unit to suit his sadly obvious needs. So, when the heat is on, keep your cool with Heat Busters. Immediate delivery, instant relief. Portable air conditioning on hire. For written details, call free phone Heat Busters. No sweat.
British Airways is pleased to announce that all flights are back to normal again after the recent disruptions. We sincerely regret any inconvenience that may have been experienced by our passengers. But we would like to assure you that everyone at British Airways is working to make certain that all flights will be back to normal. British Airways, the world's favorite airline.
LBC Radio Gardening Week.
Advice and tips from potting on to pesticides and fertilizer to fruits.
Brought to you with W.H. Smith Do It All, helping you to DIY better.
District nurse and former Live a Bird Neris Hughes is a very keen gardener at her house in Putney.
I've been very lucky. It's a very tough soil here. It's clay soil. So it's quite tough to dig, but it's a wonderful garden for growing because I suppose it faces south and the sun rises there and goes right round, never off, you see. It's incredibly lucky to have such shelter and warmth and this heavy clay soil, which seems to, you seem to be able to grow anything in it, really. There were some quite tall trees at the back here. Then I grew another, six more along there. We moved in here, I suppose, about 12 years ago. And they've grown in that time. They're Cupressus leelandi, which grow incredibly quickly. We're so screened now, really, you can't see any of the houses behind. As you can see, I love to grow things on walls. I like the honeysuckle, and I've got some more fruit trees against that fence. And then I've got buddleia here. Butterflies love them, and so I have lots of butterflies here. And then I have lilac at the bottom there. And then the little shrimp plant down there by the pool, which the bees love. And so there's lots and lots of birds and butterflies and bees in this garden, which I adore.
Neris Hughes.
More gardening later with LBC Radio.
Delays on the A212 Gravel Hill in Addington. There's an overturned lorry at the junction with Shirley Hills Road, causing congestion all round. Ford Bridge Road in Sunbury, that's closed in both directions between the roundabout at Walton Bridge Road and Halliford Road, and that also due to an accident. M4 elevated section, we have the usual tailback eastbound towards the Heston services, and the B272 Beddington Lane in Mitcham, the level crossing gates are being worked manually until further notice. A11 Stratford High Road westbound still very busy after an earlier accident in the contraflow system, and Horseferry Road in Westminster, a large amount of oil along the whole length of the road, also causing one or two problems. 8202 Camberwell New Road, that's rather busy at the moment, and so is Theobalds Road, junction with Gray's Inn Road. Fiona Farrell, A Road Watch.
Bus routes B12 and 63 are reduced services, and 27, 134, 135 and 214 have a southbound diversion at a burst water main in Kentish Town Road. The Underground and Docklands are doing well, so just to mention that newsagents, bus garages and travel information centres now have copies of a leaflet which will make sense out of the complicated array of bus passes and help you to decide which one will be the best value for you. You can pick one up, it's free. Michael Meach reporting.
Now, Southern Region cancellations. Here they are. The list is getting a little less now. It was quite big when we started the programme. Effingham Junction to Waterloo via Epsom, the 746 doesn't go. Now that is Dartford to Charing Cross via Sidcup, the 814. Kent House to Blackfriars, the 825. Dartford to Cannon Street via Greenwich, the 825. Gravesend to Charing Cross via Sidcup, the 830. And Sutton to London Bridge, the 831. Also, Anglia tell us of delays to all services, both express and suburban services, between Cambridge and Liverpool Street, because of power supply problems at Angel Road in Tottenham. Last little sporting piece in the, certainly the tabloid press this morning, and as the Daily Mail puts it, United's head man has a £5 million taker. Samesh Kumar, the millionaire owner of Birmingham City, is ready to accept the £5 million challenge of the new Manchester United chief, Michael Knighton. Well, Mr. Knighton, who professes to be a very shy and retiring man, certainly has made the headlines over the last few days, hasn't he? And a lot of people must have seen him on television doing his ball-juggling skills at Old Trafford before the Manchester United-Arsenal game on Saturday. And Mr. Kumar is now ready to take up Mr. Knighton's challenge. He's prepared for the head-on clash of soccer skills, which Knighton now wants to stage at Wembley before the FA Cup final next year. Kumar, who ironically is a lifelong Manchester United supporter, says he's never played professionally. He'll have to undergo a knee operation before publicly displaying his talents. But Knighton has challenged him to keep a football off the ground with at least 100 consecutive headers. And Kumar said, I used to be able to keep a tennis ball up over 50 times. If I'm still able to do that, keeping up a football would be easy. And I see in the Sun that Jimmy Hill, the former Fulham player and now, of course, the television pundit, says I won't be going for the 5 million. He says I couldn't bounce the ball on my head for 100 times when I was a player, let alone now. And typically, of course, the Sun has labelled the story, I'll juggle my balls better than you, Mike. Well, the Sun would, wouldn't it, really? 7:29.
Now, Terence Piper's healthier approach to drink spending.
Try it.
With just a finger touch, you can have real ground coffee, fresh leaf tea, hot chocolate, soup or cold drinks. And you can choose to have them mild, medium or strong.
Try it. You'll like it.
And you'll get drinks that are free of artificial colours and flavouring.
Try it. You'll like it. That's a
bring your vending machines up to date and get drinks you'll want to drink. Ask the operator for free phone, Terence Piper.
There's never been a better time to buy a new Citroën from Regent's Park Motors in Primrose Hill. Choose from our wide range of models, including limited edition Citroën BX and AXs, our flexible finance deals designed to suit you, and our excellent part exchange plans. We're licensed credit brokers, so for written details, call 722-3305. Regent Park Motors, just you. 722-3305.
You're tuned to LBC Radio, 97.3 on the FM frequency. For quality stereo listening, LBC Radio FM.
LBC Radio News at 7:30. Inquests open today on the 25 known victims of the Thames pleasure boat disaster. Police say they expect the final death toll could be at least 63. A six-year-old Liverpool boy has been savaged by a Rottweiler dog while visiting his aunt. Doctors had to sew 50 stitches into the face of young Thomas Clayton, who's recovering in hospital. And Metropolis, one of the West End's most expensive musicals, is to close next month with losses of £2.5 million. The failure of the production is being blamed partly on this summer's transport strikes and hot weather.
Well, that's one big London story. Here are the others. Police are hunting a man who drugged, kidnapped and indecently assaulted a 9-year-old boy in Hackney. They fear that the man may strike again, and they're warning parents of young children to be on their guard. Bruce Pavey reports.
The attack happened at about 5 a.m. yesterday morning, but details have only just been released by Scotland Yard. The boy was seized as he slept in a tent in the back garden of his home in Victoria Park Road in Hackney. Neighbours were alerted by a horrific scream and saw the man cover the child's face with a stupefying drug. He went limp as he was carried off over the man's shoulder. The boy was later found unconscious at Guinness Close near his home. Police say the attacker fits the description of a man seen in the area recently offering money to children, and parents are being warned to keep an eye on their youngsters. He's described as white, aged between 25 and 30, about 5 feet 9 tall, of stocky build, with dark brown, short hair.
Local police are appealing for information. If you can help, then after 9 a.m., please, call Detective Inspector Gary Southgate on 488-7262. That's 488-7262. Detective Inspector Gary Southgate. Inquests will be formally opened today on the 25 known victims of the Thames pleasure boat disaster. The police have confirmed the final death toll could be at least 63. Dozens of families are having an agonising wait for news about a further 38 people known still to be missing. Police say 87 survivors have now been accounted for, but speculation is growing that more than the official number of 150 people were on board. Nigel Deering reports.
From today, cruise companies will have to compile registers of passengers and explain emergency procedures before any sailings on the Thames. Regulations will be enforced more rigorously, and river patrols will be extended overnight 24 hours a day. Superintendent Ted Allen, in charge of the search, has welcomed the new moves.
Prevention's always better than cure, isn't it? And anything that is done that might prevent another tragedy can only be good.
He now hopes that those bodies still missing can be recovered by the end of the week.
Transport police are investigating another vandal attack on a train in the London area. It happened last night. A train driver and passengers narrowly escaped injury when a brick was thrown from another train. It smashed two windows on the 6:15 Charing Cross Ramsgate Express. which was forced to change engines at the Tonbridge before continuing its journey to the coast. It's the latest in a series of such incidents. Four Eastern Region suburban trains were damaged at the weekend. Gatwick has been at the centre of a security alert after a report of shots being heard near the airport. Two members of the public alerted police after hearing the shots and spotting an armed man wearing camouflage clothing running off into the undergrowth. Armed officers, tracker dogs and a police helicopter were used during a search of woods near the South Terminal. A man is being questioned by detectives. Finally, the Consumers Association is urging the government to refer London Underground to the Monopolies Commission for allegedly planning to increase fares to curb overcrowding. London Underground caused a row earlier this year when officials told MPs they were looking at the idea on safety grounds. But a spokesman now says such a policy is not being considered. Well, we'll be developing that story because in about 5 minutes' time, our next guest will be John Winwood, who's head of policy at the Consumers Association. The time now is 7:34.
It's going to be warm and sunny again today with a light breeze. Temperatures showing signs of climbing now. It's still 15 or 59 in town. Out of town, where it was very cool first thing this morning, it's recovered to 11 or 52. This afternoon's readings, round about 25 centigrade or 77 Fahrenheit, so certainly in the very warm category, but a shade lower than yesterday. There'll be a few bits and pieces of cloud around today, mostly pretty high up in the sky and fairly thin, and I think most of the time the sun's simply going to shine straight through, so practically unbroken sunshine right through the day. That breeze, a southwesterly one, blowing at around 10 miles an hour, and humidity levels continuing low, but air quality in the capital today is on the decline. It's falling as pollution levels slowly climb.
Now, a quick look, if you will, at yesterday's temperatures and sunshine, Philip.
Yes, we hit 26, which is 79 in many parts of Greater London yesterday. And we are actually in line, if the weather doesn't change too much, which it doesn't look like doing, to be the warmest August since at least 1984 and probably since 1975. Now, sunshine, another 12 to 13 hours of bright sunshine yesterday yet again. That's brought the total for the first 3 weeks of the month to 204 hours, in other words, practically 10 hours a day. We only need 7 hours a day for the last 10 days of the month to beat the previous sunshine record, which was set way back in 1947. So, as yesterday, records continue to tumble.
24 minutes to 8, and now news of how you can help London's police.
Sunday, August the 6th. A train bound for Paddington derailed and crashed. There were over 100 people travelling on this train. Fortunately, only 7 people needed hospital treatment. It could have been many more. The incident happened just after 10 p.m. outside West Ealing Station. The train, travelling at about 80 miles an hour, hit a 14-foot length of rail weighing a quarter of a ton placed across the track. It's thought, due to the weight of the obstruction, that this senseless act was probably carried out by a group of men from the Ealing-Hanwell area. As well as the usual Community Action Trust reward, British Rail are also offering a reward of £10,000 for information leading to the identity of those responsible. Ring 0800 555 111 if you can help Crime Stoppers on this or any crime. Your call is free, you needn't give your name, and you may qualify for a Community Action Trust reward. Ring 0800 555 111.
AM on LBC Radio, it's now 23 minutes to 8.
It's late night shopping till 8 at Whiteley's 6 days a week, and even later night eating every single day. Turn left out of Queensway or Bayswater tube stations.
The Consumers Association is calling for the London Underground to be referred to the Monopolies and Mergers Commission. The group says that LRT's intention to increase fares to combat the severe overcrowding now present on the system is not the solution to the problem. In 1987, London Underground was scheduled for referral to the Monopolies and Mergers Commission, but the inquiry was suspended to allow them to concentrate on the King's Cross fire inquiry. John Winwood, head of policy at the Consumers Association, is with us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Why are you calling for the London Underground to again be referred to the Monopolies and Mergers Commission?
Well, under a particular piece of legislation that the government passed in 1980, they can refer nationalised industries
to the Monopolies and Mergers Commission for sort of routine investigations, and the MMC has a look at how the industry is operating, looks at its standards and so on. And as you say, London Underground was one of those that was scheduled to be investigated. But when the King's Cross disaster happened, they put aside that investigation. And since that time, I think there's been a general perception that standards on the Underground have been pretty poor. I'm not sure whether they've been getting worse, although the overcrowding seems to have been getting worse. And then earlier in the year, when they were talking to a parliamentary body, the top executives at the Underground were talking about raising the fares in order to combat overcrowding. So it's that combination of three things, really. One is the talk of putting the fares up. The other is a general perception of rather bad standards on the Underground, and especially, I think, compared to Underground systems in other countries, which do seem to run a lot better and a lot more pleasantly. And the fact that they were meant to be investigated anyway. So we now think it's time that they had another look at it.
How do you think LRT should combat the problem of overcrowding, if not by raising the fares?
Well, I mean, clearly they do have problems on the system, but it's not... I want to emphasise, it's not just the question of fares and overcrowding. It's also the general perception of standards on the Underground. It's not just... I mean, clearly a lot of people need to use the Underground. And the relatively low fare policy that we've had has encouraged people on it. But despite that, the standards on the system seem to be particularly bad. So I think the first thing to do before you start trying to squeeze people off the system by overcharging them is to see whether you couldn't organise your affairs better to get more people through the system, particularly at the peak hours, and get them through in a little bit more comfort, and try and do things that way before just trying to force them off the system.
But I would have thought that's what they're trying to do. I mean, it's easier said than done, isn't it? You're sitting there saying, let's have an ideal world, really. I'm sure the management of London Underground are trying their best to do that now, aren't they?
Well, I don't know whether they're trying their best or not, but as I say, the government clearly felt in the past that there was a case for investigating the Underground, and while we fully sympathise with putting that off while the King's Cross inquiry was going on, I don't think anybody would feel that things have got sufficiently better in the meantime that you wouldn't want to have another look at them. Of course, these are difficult problems, and an organisation like Consumers Association can't come up with all the answers, but given the absolutely crucial importance, I think, everybody accepts at the moment, of public transport in London, given that some bodies are going to be investigated by the MMC, we're simply saying that London Underground should be one of those bodies. Let's just have a look at it and see how it's working.
It is the crowds, isn't it? It really is just the sheer mass of humanity that travels. That's the problem. I mean, the French Underground, you quote other undergrounds. I mean, the Metro runs splendidly, but they don't have the crowds to deal with, do they, in Paris, that they do in London?
Well, we do seem to have a particular problem of peak crowding in this city, but I think anybody who travels on the Underground must also perceive that very often, particularly at peak times, the thing doesn't seem to be terribly well organised. You get lifts out of order, you get jammed barriers, you get ticket machines that aren't working, you get announcements that trains have been cancelled because of absence of staff. I mean, even very often the automatic signal things on the platform aren't working either. And travelling on the Northern Line, for example, I mean, almost every day you seem to hear these announcements about one thing or another going wrong. Now, it may be that they are trying their best, but let's try and get that sorted out first.
Well, you're very lucky if you get announcements sometimes at Tube Station that things are going wrong at our local station, which is Moor Park. They don't make any announcements at all. And when I said to the chap the other day, why don't you make an announcement, he says, God, I never know anything.
Sure, that's true.
Is this just an argument, though, for privatisation? Would you like to see the Underground privatised?
Oh, I'm not sure that would be the answer, and we're a long way away from that at the moment. But as I say, given that this mechanism is here, and given that they were meant to be looking at it, given that I think everybody would agree at the moment that things are far from ideal on the Underground, let's have the MMC have a look at it and see what they come up with. That's all we're saying.
John Winwood from the Consumers Association, thank you. It's now 18 minutes to 8.
Time for LBC Radio Money Matters, as we say bye-bye to John. The world financial market snapshot now. The pound is holding its own against a stronger dollar at $1.57¾. That's the same as yesterday. The pound against the mark, 3 marks 7¾ pfennigs. That's a quarter of a pfennig down. The dollar is a third of a pfennig higher against the mark at 1 mark 95¾ pfennigs. And against the yen, it's 142¾ yen. That's a third of a yen up. And the stock markets. This morning in Tokyo, the Nikkei index closed 26 points down at 35114. While in Hong Kong at lunchtime, the Hang Seng Index is 2525, that's down 3.
The struggle by BAT Industries to defend itself against Sir James Goldsmith in Britain's biggest ever takeover battle is at a crucial stage. BAT is standing on its record and refusing to talk to Goldsmith. Well, with us is Tony Richards of stockbrokers Quilter Goodison. Tony, do you think BAT can fight off Goldsmith just by saying how well it's doing or it's done? Or do you think it's going to have to start selling off assets to get its share price up?
Well, saying how well a company's done, of course, is one of the methods that have been used by many, many companies that are being bid for in the past, and this is indeed exactly what has happened yesterday. Indeed, it coincided with an early release of some June figures from BATS, which showed the usual expected increase in profits and dividends and so on. And we've heard the chairman of BATS say that over the last 9 years you'd have done very, very well in the shares, almost as well as in Hansen. You'd have seen something like a 19.8% increase in your dividend and an 18.5% increase in your pre-tax profits. All not unexpected stuff. I mean, it's the usual way to do it. But selling off assets is another way you can do it with a company like this, which is a conglomerate. You could actually sell off some of the more attractive bits that Goldsmith wants, therefore making it less attractive. It's all mouth-watering stuff, and I'm sure this is just the first shots. But we're bound to see more and more of this, I should think, over the next few weeks, as one side and then the other comes back with claims that their particular bid is better for the company.
Do you think Goldsmith will have to offer real cash soon instead of
just
paper cash?
Yes, I think so. Yes, it's a strange mix at the moment, including some so-called junk bonds, which are very, very difficult to value. And therein lies the problem. The price has come up. It's still below the estimated value of the mix of stocks and shares and cash. But even so, that particular mix is very hard to value.
Do you chaps in the city know who's going to win? Or do you have an idea who's going to win as a little feeling?
Our crystal balls are as cloudy as anybody. But I think the key to the situation is going to be the institutional shareholder. They will want to see more cash, I think, than this strange mix. They will also, of course, be very concerned that the price has come up with the bid, and they won't want to see the price drop back to where it was before. They're very conscious, of course, that they're acting for their particular shareholders, and where they see this price flashing at the moment, of course, it is very, very tempting, as I've said. It'll be a close-run thing, I think, but at the moment, it doesn't look as though the present mix of stocks that's being offered is going to be very successful.
There's some good headlines out of it, aren't there? Playing a straight bat and all that sort of thing. Some good stuff.
Tony Richards of Stockbrokers Quilter Goodison, thank you. 7:45.
We make an excellent range of porches and conservatories. We'll teach you to sell them at £200 or £300 each evening. We'll even pay you £500 while you trade.
9612000.
British Airways is pleased to announce that all flights are back to normal again after the recent disruptions. We sincerely regret any inconvenience that may have been experienced by our passengers. But we would like to assure you that everyone at British Airways is working to make certain that all flights will be back to normal. British Airways, the world's favourite airline.
7:45, LBC Radio News. Inquests open today on the 25 known victims of the Thames pleasure boat disaster. Police say they expect the final death toll could be as high as 63. Police are hunting a sex maniac who abducted a 9-year-old boy in East London. He was dumped in a park nearby. He is safe, though, after a neighbour alerted police. And a 6-year-old Liverpool boy has been savaged by a Rottweiler dog while visiting his aunt. Metropolis, one of the West End's most expensive musicals, is to close next month with losses of £2.5 million. The failure of the production is being blamed partly on this summer's transport strikes and the hot weather, which goes on. Because it's going to be dry and very warm again today with long periods of sunshine, the current temperature is 15 centigrade 59 Fahrenheit, the maximum 25 centigrade 77 Fahrenheit, the wind light southwesterly. Dominic's brought us some sports news. It's a big effort for a man in his state to get from the newsroom to the studio, so I'm going to read it. He's made an effort. The Nottinghamshire have become the second county to be docked 25 points for a substandard pitch by the TCCB after the umpires decided to move the game to an adjacent pitch at Trent Bridge. Michael Holding refused to take any further part. So you'll see it in the cricket analysis in all the papers this morning. Holding absent, naught. Philip de Freitas has been called up for the 6th Cornhill Test as a replacement for Devon Malcolm, who strained his back. And 7 London sides have First Division football games tonight. Arsenal are at home to Coventry. Chelsea and QPR meet at Stamford Bridge. Crystal Palace are at home to Manchester United. Spurs are at Everton. And Millwall play Charlton at the Den. Here come the top 10 TV shows, broadcast as Audience Research Board figures from Bruce.
At number 10, news, sport and weather from the BBC on Saturday evening. 9 is the 9 o'clock news from the BBC on Tuesday, and 8, also from the Beeb, Cassandra Crossing. 7 is the first ITV entry, The Bill, on Tuesday, and 6, another news bulletin from the BBC, the Sunday evening news and weather. 5 and 4, and the first shows to crack the 11 million mark in this week's chart, EastEnders on Tuesday and Thursday, respectively.
Yet another news bulletin from the BBC is at number three, while the top two spots are, as usual, ITV's top soap, Coronation Street, with the highest audience of the week for the Wednesday episode, 13.59 million. Another typical summer chart, then, so the editor of the Listener, Peter Fiddick, concentrates this morning on how the chart is formulated.
Well, we go through these Barb ratings figures every week. Barb, of course, the Broadcasters Audience Research Board Limited. This is jointly owned by the BBC and ITV. The company that actually handles the research is called AGB, very big outfit. But we do get asked how they're put together, and there's a real new twist on the horizon about that. What actually happens is that about 3,500 homes in the country have the Barb Black Box, which is a device which everybody has a remote control button. Each member of the household has his own. You go in, you switch on, press your own button when you start viewing. You're supposed to switch it off when you stop. This all goes into a computer. Middle of the night, the main computer phones up the black box in your television set and unloads all this material, which is then minutely analysed. And this gives, therefore, 10,000 people quite a big sample and quite an accurate, compared with most places, quite an accurate view of viewing. However, the new one, the Americans say they've got a system that is actually going to be pointing a camera at you while you're watching, and therefore it will know exactly who's there and what they're watching, and indeed whether they're watching or not. There is, I have to tell you, a certain amount of scepticism in the British audience research industry about that, but everybody's working on their version, so stay tuned, and if the knock comes on your door, will you join the Barb panel? Think twice about what you're letting yourself in for, would be my advice.
Some pretty good advice, perhaps, from the editor of the Listener, Peter Fiddick, along with Bruce Pavey. It's 10 to 8.
Now for LBC's aerial view of London's traffic, we cross to the Evening Standard London Lookout and Brian Moore.
Yes, Dickie, generally a very, very quiet situation through most of London, but the worst spots at the moment are down in the east, the A13 Canning Town flyover. There's about a mile tailback over the flyover there, and that's because of the overspill from the A11 at Stratford and Leytonstone, all very slow moving indeed. That's because of an accident earlier in the one-way system. From the north, the M11, the roadworks from just north of Charlie Brown's, they've moved all that down a bit. That's fairly slow moving, but from Junction 5, the contraflow system, there's about a half a mile tailback at the moment. I'll keep my eye on that one because that might grow. Bridges to watch out for, only one of them, and that's the Vauxhall Bridge, the rest of them quite quiet. Tunnels, well, the Blackwall Tunnel, you've got about a half a mile tailback into the tunnel northbound there. And Rotherhithe Tunnel, absolutely clear at the moment. This is Brian Wolfe, 1,300 feet over the M25.
Hello, this is the Evening Standard Job Link. In today's Standard, the emphasis is on opportunities in media, retailing and sales, plus hotels and catering. With an average of 1,000 jobs a day to choose from, it's worth looking in the Standard whatever work you do. The fact is, if you're looking for a job or a better job, the Evening Standard carries more advertisements for jobs than any other daily paper in Britain. And as employers know, the Standard is read by over 1 million people a day. The Evening Standard. For jobs in London, it's impossible to beat.
Those images that penetrate your deepest sleep and what they may mean with dream therapist Tony Crisp at 10 tonight on Robbie Vincent's Nightline. From 11, your chance to comment on some of the night's top talking topics, some serious, others more light-hearted. Robbie Vincent's Nightline here on LBC Radio.
Minutes to 8. Botanical experts at Kew Gardens claim that government cuts mean rare plants worldwide could face extinction unless private sponsors and the public foot the bill. Finding the £9 million to keep the gardens open each year is now so hard, this year's wage bill can't be met. Staff face redundancies, and next year visitors face an increase of at least 100% at the turnstiles. Garden supervisor Sue Minter has been showing Julie Parrish some of the vital conservation work currently underway in the newly restored palm house.
The whole budget for the gardens is at the moment, I think, around about £9 million. And I think it is the government's long-term aim that we're going to be 50% self-sufficient. So we are looking for sponsors and for an active interest in supporting the work at Kew, because, of course, we do so much to do with conservation, and this is becoming really very important now. I think something like 50% of the cycads in this house are threatened in the wild, and 25% of the palms, which is an enormously high proportion. So we have a sort of little gene pool here under glass, and it might be possible, in fact it is possible, to start reintroducing things into the wild if things do get very seriously destroyed.
How much has the budget been cut over the last few years?
Well, it's not so much that it's been cut as that it's not kept up with the pace of inflation and the average rate of wage awards to the staff. So whereas wages have been around about 7%, in the last 4 or 5 years we've had an increase of about 2.8% in our budget each year. So the cake is getting smaller and smaller, and we're worried at the moment that by the end of the financial year we won't have enough to meet the current salaries.
To highlight the plight and raise cash, the Royal Botanic Gardens is holding private viewing sessions at £5 a head of the £8 million restoration work at Palm House from Monday to Thursday this week, with the emphasis very much on conservation.
What we have at the Palm House at Kew is the experience of the tropical rainforest. We have the largest area of tropical rainforest under glass inscapulated here at Kew in suburban London, and it's a good opportunity for people to come and actually just experience what that's like.
When will the general public be able to come and see this?
Well, the official opening of the Palm House is going to be in the autumn of 1990.
And what's changed? What can they expect to see?
Well, we've sorted out the plant collections in this house quite considerably, and we've organised them according to the continents of the world so that you can see the rainforest zones much more clearly. We've also got a lot of more interesting plants, particularly new species of palms, and some extremely rare things on show to the public for the first time, which is very exciting. Some of them almost extinct in the wild.
Where are we standing now, for example? I mean, what sort of zone are we in now?
Well, at the moment you're in tropical Africa, round about Madagascar, and on the left here we've got the famous double coconut, which is an extremely rare palm, produces the largest nut in the plant kingdom, and we've planted it here with a heating blanket underneath it in order to get the roots going and to get it growing extremely well.
Garden supervisor at Kew Gardens, Sue Minter, was talking there to Julie Parrish. It's 5 to 8.
I'm a fearsome gardener, as you might have guessed. My name is Barney, and I protect the family the best. Now, Barney's got a rival. Colgate's his name. They say he protects the family, but he watches his blinking game. Now, this Colgate might be another dog, I fear. Unleash me, unleash me. I'll clip him round the ear. Colgate must be scared of me. About there ain't a doubt. Because only just this morning I heard... That's because I'm Barney. And I protect the family the best.
Colgate with maximum fluoride, the protection you need.
Now's your chance to join the exciting world of mobile communications with one of the most dynamic and innovative companies around, the Cell Phone Group PLC. The Cell Phone Group has vacancies at all levels for sales and admin staff, with salary packages negotiable depending on expertise and experience. The Cell Phone Group. Call 01209-1517.
Delays on the A212 Gravel Hill, Addington, where a lorry is overturned at the junction with Shirley Hills Road. Also problems on Fordbridge Road in Sunbury. That's closed in both directions between the roundabout at Walton Bridge Road and Halliford Road after an accident. Vauxhall Bridge, there's also been an accident there at the junction with Millbank. Tailbacks all round. Vauxhall Cross is stationary. A11, the Stratford one-way system, that's also snarled up at the moment because of roadworks. A13, Commercial Road in Poplar, traffic slow in both directions there. And an earlier accident didn't help matters there in the contraflow system. Camberwell New Road, that's still rather busy, as is Brixton Road. And Theobalds Road, junction with Gray's Inn Road. Roadworks there causing problems all round. Fiona Farrell, A Road Watch.
On the buses and the underground, little change in the last half hour. B12 and 63 are reduced services on the buses. And 27, 134, 135 and 214 are diverted in Kentish Town Road. And Sloane Square Station is without any escalators working. I was mentioning a leaflet to help you make sense of the complicated array of bus passes which is available. You can get one from a travel information centre, from a bus garage, or at certain newsagents. Michael Meach reporting.
The Rail News. Some Anglia cancellations all into Liverpool Street just received.
the 805 from Gidea Park, the 811 from Bishop Stortford, and the 824 from Hartford East. Also, Anglia tell us that the power supply problems continue to services between Cambridge and Liverpool Street with diversions via Southbury. Some southern region cancellations: Dartford to Charing Cross via Sidcup, the 814, Kenthurst to Blackfriars, the 825, Dartford to Cannon Street via Greenwich, the 825, Gravesend to Charing Cross via Sidcup, the 830, Sutton to London Bridge, the 831. Here's Linda.
An early morning British Airways shuttle and European services are operating on schedule. At Heathrow, though, flights from New York are suffering delays, and TWA Flight 700 now has a provisional arrival time of 1:45 at Terminal 3. Air India Flight AI-102 from New York is expected at 10 o'clock.
The currency: the Spanish peseta 189, the French franc 10.10, the Italian lira 2160, the Greek drachma 261.
Tuesday, August the 22nd, AM, with Douglas Cameron and Nicky Broyd. In the next hour,
the riverboat tragedy. As the Transport Secretary announces new safety measures, we talk to the Vice Chairman of the Thames Passenger Services Federation, Alan Woods. Half an hour ago on this programme, the Consumers Association called for the Underground to be referred to the Monopolies and Mergers Commission. We give the right of reply to the Director of Planning for LRT, David Bayliss.
And the goodness of garlic, more than just useful for warding off evil spirits. Quiet, I'm listening.
Network Southeast today announced a great August offer.
Mom?
Shh. They have reduced all adult cheap day return prices by one-third after 10 a.m. weekdays and any time at weekends until the 3rd of September.
Mummy? Shh.
Adult travellers may also take two children for just £1 each.
Wow, that's a real bargain. Let's go out for the day tomorrow. Tuned to LBC Radio 97.3 on the FM frequency for quality stereo listening. LBC Radio FM.
The 8 o'clock news. This is Douglas Cameron.